Welcome back to Officially Unofficial, presented by Blue Wire Podcast. I'm your host, the former face of junior college baseball, the Fall American, Johnny Junta. And we're here with a special guest, a guy that I've been absolutely grinding to get on the show. He's the number 10th ranked prospect for the Detroit Tigers. It's my pleasure to welcome Ryan Kreidler to the Officially Unofficial Podcast. How are we, Kit?
Good, man. Thanks for having me on.
And obviously, like I said, a little bit of a hiccup. We were supposed to get you on earlier, but you were grinding in the season. And actually, credit to me. Do you give me credit for this? When we started DMing, you got called up to AAA the week after. And I always talk about the officially unofficial bump. I always talk about after guys come on this show, they turn into the best hitters of all time. Do I get a little bit of credit for that call up?
I'll give you some credit. Yeah, I'll give you some credit. I think between that and you having Cody on, it was good vibes for me to rejoin Cody in Toledo.
Yeah, and let's go into Cody for a second. I mean, this guy, and a couple stories that this guy told on the podcast is just like, you can tell this guy's just living the big league lifestyle, like going out with Toby Keith, golfing with Tiger Woods. Like, this guy's insane. So what was like your first impression of Cody Clemens? Because obviously you saw what that guy did in college, and he was the Golden Spikes runner-up, I believe. So I'm assuming you knew who he was.
Yeah, we played Texas when I was a freshman. So I knew him. I knew his brother. Didn't really know him personally. And then the first time we met really was Instructs in 2019. And he was nobody. I mean, everyone, you want to be at Instructs, but at the end of the year, you don't really want to be at Instructs.
Yeah.
So we were all just grinding. It was hot and he was just not having a good time. So that was my first impression. I was like, this guy's kind of mean. But then, you know, as you get to know him, he turns out he's a great guy. And yeah, like you said, he's got some funny stories. So
dude, it's
fun to get to know him.
And so I don't know. So I'm really good friends with Nolan Kingham too, who's the pitcher for the University of Texas. And this is a funny story about Nolan. So we had Cody on. I was like, Nolan, do you have any like funny things to tell me about Cody? He's like, just mention this concert where he was like blackout drunk. I was like, fine. And then after the interview, Nolan's like, oh yeah, I forgot to mention like he golfed with Tiger Woods. I was like, why wasn't this told to me before? Like, is Cody one of those guys that'll bring these stories up to you and you'll just be at a loss of words?
Yeah, I mean, you can't really match that, so you just kind of have to listen. You know? Like, when he's talking about, oh, you know, we're in Cabo with Dak Prescott and yeah, yeah, yeah. All right. You know, I was in Davis, California with my brother. You know, it's not the same. So
yeah. I know, and dude, it's like the guy's living the dream, and on the field, obviously, he's an absolute dog. Like, I mean, the guy rakes, he mashes. Is he one of those guys that you play with that you're kind of not in awe with? Because you obviously play with Spencer Torkelson, who's an absolute freak of nature. But is Cody one of those guys where it's like his BP's impressive, his infield work's impressive? Like, what's that one thing that Cody does that stands out to you as a teammate of his?
No, I wouldn't say Cody's like a crazy BP hitter. Or like, he's not going to put on a show or anything like that. But like, in the game, I think it's just fun to watch him because he just plays really hard. Like, you can tell he's just been playing baseball forever. So, like, playing with him when he played second, I was at short or whatever. It was always fun because, like, he just knows the game so well. And you can tell he's been around it for so long with his dad and his brother and everything. But, yeah, I think just playing with him, he plays super hard. It's, like, great teammate. And he's just fun to chop it up with in the clubhouse.
Yeah,
like
he's electric.
He's got a million stories.
He's electric. He's absolutely electric. And I wanted to go into, before we go into your playing career this year, I wanted to bring this up because when we have Cali guys on the show, we've had a ton, humble brag. I mean, I mentioned it to Glass now. On a scale of 1 to 10, and 10 being like you're going out in DC shoes, puka shell necklaces, shark tooth necklace, how much of a Cali kid were you growing up? Like, were you one of those kids that's like, welcome to Redland Skate Park, pussy? Like, do you remember that Vine or that TikTok video? Like, where would you rank yourself on that scale?
Nah, I'd say pretty low. I the town I grew up in wasn't like a surf town. I wasn't really around. Like, I think what you're thinking of is like Southern California.
Yeah, okay.
Like, so when I got to UCLA, that's like, you know, I was introduced to it. But I wouldn't say I was like that at all. I'd say probably like a 1 out of 10.
Because I'm scared shitless of Cali kids. Like, I really am. Just the little kids that already have ear piercings, like maybe full sleeve tattoos. So that's like not where Davis, California is not like that at all. Like, would you say it's as close to where I'm from? I'm from Toronto. So would you say it's like as close to like the lifestyle that we have? Or is it still beach kids, all that kind of stuff where you're at?
No, it's definitely more like Toronto than it is San Diego. I think the closest beach is probably like Santa Cruz, which is like 2 hours away, 2.5 hours. So yeah, I think I didn't really get to the beach much growing up. It was a vacation for us. Like, I don't know, my teammates at UCLA would always just go when they were kids, but we never really were around it. So, it's a farm town.
So was that like a culture shock for you, like seeing, like being at UCLA and seeing these, like, I'm assuming, obviously I'm just stereotyping here, like these chill ass Cali kids, like where you're just like on the other side of the planet for you, like their personality wise?
Yeah, some of them, like, it's just different because it seems like at UCLA there's a lot of kids from down there who go to school there. And yeah. So it felt like they all knew each other already. I'm laughing because my roommate, Michael Tolia, is from Washington State. And so we both felt like we were just way out of place. Like, we were with a couple kids from like Orange County, and they were just like, the lingo, the music, like, we didn't know anything. So it took us, there was definitely like an adjustment period for sure.
And another thing, reason why I'm intimidated by Cali kids, and I'm assuming like this is what you like witnessed every single time when you were playing like travel ball growing up, is the talent there for travel ball and like your high school ball just substantially better than what you would see in like the high schools that you guys would play out of state? Because Cal, like, in my mind, what I think of when I think of Cali high school kids, they're just like, if you throw 90, you're kind of a fucking loser in Cali high school. Like, you know what I'm saying? Is that what it's kind of like
now? Yeah, I mean, like, now it seems like that's the way it is, but I wouldn't say that like when we were in high school it was that crazy.
Yeah.
But again, like, I wasn't exposed to, I think like Southern California just produces like a mad amount of big leaguers. Like, not to mention Florida, Texas, like, but like Southern California is a hotbed. So like when we were growing up, if we went down south to play, then you would see some like crazy dudes. It was usually like we'd play like the Tomateros of California after they named themselves after the Mexican League team. And they had like all these, a lot of them were like fully developed, you know, 14-year-olds are fucking jacked already. And so it's like, all right, this guy's a mustache and I haven't even hit puberty yet. So, you know, those were the games that you circle on the schedule. But like, nah, it wasn't anything crazy. I think you go to Cooperstown and you play kids from all over the place and everyone's, you know, good. I didn't really realize it until probably like maybe college or pro ball, like how talented California is. But there's talented people from all over the place. Like, that's what the first thing you notice in pro ball.
And you mentioned Cooperstown. So listen, I tell in the story, like I tell in this spot, I hit 160 in JUCO, below my body weight on the Fall American, all that kind of stuff. But when I went to Cooperstown, that is when I realized I'm a fucking bum at the game of baseball. My team, and I don't think I told this in the podcast before, my team came in 99th place, minus 50 run differential, one of the worst teams in Cooperstown history. So I'm always very, very interested in this. As you can see, I think behind me, we have the bats. But as you can see, like, right. when you were there as a Cali kid, like, was it like, were you guys like absolutely putting kids in your back pocket? Like, what place did you guys come in when you were in Cooperstown?
So we went twice. We went when I was 10. I think we only did 1 week of 10-year-olds.
Yeah.
Whole summer. And then we went when I was 12 and we played in like the better week. I forget what it's called. When we were 10, I think we got like ninth place.
Oh my God.
And then no, when we were 12, we won it. but when we were 12, our team was loaded. We had Nico Horner was our shortstop.
Are you shitting me?
I was catching. Me, Nico. Nick Madrigal was on our team, but he didn't play that week, I don't think. Steven Kwan. We had a bunch of
just division big leaguers.
Yeah, like, yeah, we had quite a few. We had quite a few players.
It was bananas. Like I said, I mean, obviously you were like really good in high school committing to UCLA. And I asked this to all the guys that go to big time schools like UCLA, all those like powerhouses. Were you the big dog on campus on that baseball team? Did you commit early? Like, when did you commit to UCLA?
No, it happened early for me because I had a teammate, Matt Trask, who was committed there. And so they were kind of around, like UCLA was just around. And then that started, and I was like tall and skinny when I was younger.
Yeah.
I'm still skinny now, but I was skinnier younger when I was younger. But so they would come around early for him. And then I was just kind of a product of that. And so I got a bunch of offers and stuff early, but I didn't commit until I was a junior.
Oh, really? Okay. Cause like there's some kids, I'm trying to remember who it was. We had a guy a couple weeks ago. I'm trying to think who it was, but he committed as a freshman. And is there that element, especially in like US high schools, where if there's a freshman that's committed to like a 4-year school before like the seniors are kind of looking at this guy like, fuck this guy. Like, is there that element at the US high schools?
I think my high school didn't necessarily pop off with baseball talent. It has since I left. There's been a lot more like kids committing to schools and whatnot. But like when I was there, We had a few per year, and at the D1 level, maybe one a year. So there wasn't really like any animosity. It was more just kind of like, you know, that's cool. And then it in turn helped a lot of the younger kids when I was committed, because then there'd be people coming out and, you know, they talk and whatever. So no, I think, yeah, depending on where you go, probably, but in my high school, not really.
So we had Jeff Criswell on the podcast a couple weeks ago. I don't know if you know who Jeff Criswell is, Michigan pitcher. And were you there for that series when you guys played the Wolverines in the regional? Were you there for that? Yep. Because listen here, because obviously we heard his side of the story. Now I want to hear yours. He said at your barn, the UCLA baseball field, it was majority Michigan fans. Is that true? Was there a lot of Michigan fans at that game?
Well, I'll preface it with this. Yeah, maybe, but like I'll preface it with this. If you're in LA on a Friday night, what are you gonna do? Are you gonna
not going to a baseball game. You're right.
You're not going to a college baseball game. You might go to see the Dodgers, but you're not gonna go to UCLA for that. I mean, like, it was sold out, but I don't know if we had too many diehards. Their team traveled pretty well.
No, dude, and that Michigan team, I don't know if you like remember specifically, but there was a couple guys like Jordan Wogu, who we've had on the show. We've had Criswell on the show. Was that series just as bananas as it looked like on TV? And I'm looking at the highlights and all that kind of stuff. Was it just as evenly, like, was that one of the most intense atmospheres you've ever been a part of?
Yeah, that was a good one. It felt even more probably intense than it really was, because we were number one.
Yeah.
And so we had this like huge target on our back, and it felt like they just came out swinging, kind of nothing to lose. And we were just like, oh, you know, turned into a tough series. But yeah, no, it was crazy intense. We took it to – they beat us by one or two on Friday night. And then Saturday night we played, I think, 12 innings. And then Sunday was a dogfight too. So it just turned into like this crazy series. They're pretty good, and they were hot, super hot at the time.
Yeah.
We were not hot.
When you run into a team like that, that's just buzzing, that has that kind of chip on their shoulder, a couple of like blue collared guys, just like you just hate to see it. But UCLA, I think you might be the first guy I've ever had from UCLA on the show. Is UCLA a party school, or is that not the party school in California for like school wise? Like Fresno, like what school? What would you like say it is?
I wouldn't call it a party school. I think like once you get there, there are like you can go party if you want to. There's frats and all that stuff. I think that the school across town, USC, is probably, if you're going out at a school in LA, probably USC is the place to go. But in the state of California, Chico State, San Diego State.
Damn.
Those are kind of the gnarlier ones. My brother went to San Diego State and he loved it. So I'm a little biased there, but it was fun. You could have fun if you wanted to. We didn't do a ton.
Because the impression that I have of UCLA is like, it's just full of smart kids. Like, is that what UCLA is? Just like the fucking geniuses in California go there?
There's quite a few. Yeah. I think depending on where you go, like who you talk to, there's going to be some kids that you probably want to keep their phone number in your phone for later in life.
I'm sure you'll get hit up about some sort of business venture when you make the show next year or whatever it is. They're going to be like, Kreidler, we got to get you a sponsorship here. But and we're going into your high school though for a second, going back into that, what was a couple guys that you grew up facing in high school that are like names in the big leagues now, like just in your region or conference or anything along those lines?
So I'll tell you a funny story. So I've told this a few times, but when I was a freshman, I was on varsity as a freshman. We played
Humble El Grove.
Huge brag. We played Elk Grove, which is a public high school about 30 minutes down the road.
Yeah.
In our conference. And at the time, they had five big leaguers on their team. Oh, they had Rowdy Tellez, Dom Nunez, Rowdy Tellez, Toronto Blue Jay.
Blue Jay legend.
Or formerly.
Yeah, former Blue Jay legend.
Rowdy Tellez, Dom Nunez, Derek Hill, Nick Madrigal, and Dylan Carlson. That was their team.
Holy fuck.
And believe it or not, we actually beat them in conference, but then they came back and beat us in the playoffs. But yeah, it was a loaded team. And then outside them, and actually the year before that, they had JD Davis, and they had
oh my God.
They had another pitcher. I forget his name, who was also, so they had like seven in the last like 5 years. But let me think.
That's crazy. We had
Matt Manning. Logan Webb a couple
Jesus
times.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, he was at Rockland. We had in our conference alone, we had quite a few. Jesuit High School, so my brother I know played against. They had a shortstop there, played for the Giants a little bit. But yeah, just depending on where you go, there's quite a few.
Yeah. Just freaks. I mean, yeah, just like you're playing in the Arizona Fall League every single time you play a high school game in California. Just absolutely bananas. And by the way, I might forget this later in the show. I know you're in the Arizona Fall League. Did you see that fight that my guy Kanan Smith started the other day in the Fall League?
Yeah, I saw it. I wasn't at the game. That was a different squad. But yeah, we were in the clubhouse. We played a night game last night, and that was like the top. Yeah, it was crazy. That, we played camp quite a bit during the season.
It's so crazy. That's our friend of the show, and I messaged him, and dude, he like fucked this kid up. Like the kid has like a black eye and shit. Like it's not. I mean, that guy has paws on him. Shout out to Kanan. I mean, the guy, it's electric shit. And then you get drafted out of high school. Is that correct? By the Cubs.
Yep.
Was that like an easy decision to pretty much say like, no, I'm going to go to UCLA? Because UCLA is a powerhouse wagon university. So it was like, that was one of the easiest things you ever said no to?
Yeah. Well, I knew going into the draft that I wasn't going to sign. I was going to go to college. So that was, when they drafted me, it was almost just kind of like a bonus. So yeah, I was like stoked on it, but at the same time, yeah, I already kind of knew that I was going to school, so it was cool.
Who's a couple guys that play in the show? I know Trevor Bauer went to UCLA, but who's in a couple other guys that went to UCLA that are like on like the Hall of Fame there, or like the retired number?
Retired number. The only one that I can think of is Jackie Robinson, but
GOAT. Yeah. Okay. What about guys now that are in the show right now?
Brandon Crawford, Garrett Cole. Holy fuck. Pat Valaika. There's more. There's Adam Plutko. There's a few more. A lot of pitchers right now.
You know how easy it probably is for like your like the head coach of UCLA to recruit someone to go there? It's like, have you ever heard of Garrett Cole? Yeah, $350 million. Like, yeah, he went here. Brandon Crawford. Yeah. It's just crazy to me. So, and do those guys like come back? Like, have you met Garrett Cole on any of those guys?
Yeah, they come back sometimes. Bauer pitched in the alumni games. He'll pitch. He'll break it out and throw like five innings. Like it's January, 8th or whatever. And he's just like full out throwing long toss. And then he'll come out and throw five. I remember when I was a freshman and a sophomore, he came out and he threw against us. Or no, sophomore and a junior. And he threw like five innings, 100 pitches every time.
That is mental. That is insane. And one of my favorite things of all time, I don't know if you see this because like you said, the friendship with you and Cody is growing here, but his dad Roger would throw in the alumni game. Have you seen these videos? It's electric.
Yeah,
throwing like 88. It's so sick. But so you mentioned UCLA, and that year you get drafted. I think you hit 300. Stat guy, credit to me for remembering that you hit 300 that year. Did you realize you were going to go that high in the draft? I mean, fourth round's a pretty good chunk of change here. I'll take that shit 10 times out of 10. Did you realize you were going to go fourth round, or was there any idea you had, or any like later, earlier?
I didn't really want to know. We were playing in the playoffs at the time.
Yeah.
We were in I think regionals, and I had kind of an inkling from my agent that it was like maybe that high, but maybe a little bit lower than that. And then I honestly think like playing in the playoffs helped me personally. I think like those last couple games I played pretty well, and I think that may have pushed the Tigers over the edge. I'm not sure. But yeah, it potentially could have helped out a little bit.
Yeah, and but, the region. Yeah, so you kind of had that idea. Was the Tigers like the number one team for you that you thought that you were going to go to? Like that showed interest from the rip.
I didn't really know, to be honest with you. Like I had met Tim McWilliams, who was my area scout, and we did meetings in the fall. But that was like, 5 months prior. So since then I hadn't really talked to anybody that much. They were kind of going through my agent and. I was just kind of getting like, notes and just some questionnaires and things like that. But no, by that point it was, all college baseball, UCLA mode. And then like the draft happened, and it was funny because we were playing that Friday night game against LMU, in the regional, and we had like, or Sunday night, whenever the draft was, right before the game, my buddy, Michael Tolia, who I mentioned, gets picked in the first round by the Rockies. And he goes out there and immediately lets a ball go right between his legs at first base. And LMU, they're from across town, and they go. And they're in the stands are going, Rockies blew it. And then so sure enough, two innings later, Chase Strumpf went in the second round to the Cubs, and he lets a ball go between his legs. And they're like, Cubs blew it. So, I was just thankful not to be picked during the game because that would have meant an E6 probably. But, I went and I was taking a final the next morning, and then I got called. And
That's just electric. Are you one of those guys that's going to be like, I'm going to go back and finish my degree? Or are you like, let's show or bust now? Like, I'm going to be a show guy. Because obviously, I mean, your stats are absurd right now. So are you going to finish that degree? Like, make your, like, let the parents know.
Yeah, no, my parents. Yeah, I've been working on it for 3 years now. I'm one quarter away. So I was about to finish it before I got invited to the fall league. You know, good problem to have. I'm not going right now because I'm here. And then, I'll probably finish it next year, but I'm definitely going
to
finish, yeah.
Okay, if you need a guy to do, like, some, like I said, like, if you come on the show, I say it to all the guys that come on the show, I'm a ride or die Ryan Kreidler guy now. If you come, like, whatever you need, I'll do some papers, whatever the fuck you need, I got you. Honestly, I don't know if you want that. I went to JUCO, but, I mean, that's just good. I mean, good for you. So, what is your degree now? Like, what are you getting here?
Political science. Political science is going to be the major. I'm still working on it.
What's the major at UCLA that athletes take that's kind of like a fuck around zone? Is it political science?
Poli sci. Yeah, it is. Okay. I wouldn't call it that, but it either that or history. And then there's a few other ones, but that's like usually history for like football guys, poli sci baseball, history is baseball. Yeah, history. Yeah.
That makes sense. I mean, I took art. So, I mean, I definitely understand where you're coming from here. So I wanted to go into the minor leagues here. So obviously I always build it up here. So you started here at UCLA, you're flying on private jets, you're living the dream, you're in class with future Bill Gates. And then next thing you know, you're grinding in low A, Connecticut, just an absolute trenches, dog shit bus rides, the whole one twos, all that. What was that change like for you? Because we have guys on the show that are like, this is not hell, but this is as close to a reality check as humanly possible.
It was it was definitely like a slap in the face. I wouldn't say that like UCLA was, we didn't get like an unbelievable amount of resources. Whereas like, you know, the Arkansas Ole Miss crowd was like, it must've been even way worse for them. But it was, you know, there were some dog days in there where it's like the spreads, you know, deli meat and fruit but there's no bread, like kind of thing. Or like when you go on the road, it's like a 9-hour bus ride and then you got to play the next day. But that's pro ball. I mean, I knew what we signed up for on that front. But the stay, you know, like living with a host family, no car, that whole situation was pretty brutal. So it just makes you want to get out. Makes me want to play well.
So what were you doing? Like, were you firing? I'm assuming actually that was the prime time for like Fortnite days. So when you're off days, were you a big Fortnite guy in 2019? Or was it like PGA, FIFA? Like, what were you playing?
I was playing the show. I was watching Stranger Things, I think, that year.
Yeah, okay, 2019.
I wasn't really grinding Fortnite that much. We did in college a bit, but I'm no good at it. So I just let the boys play. I would just watch.
So you got passed to the side. I respect that. They didn't want you on the squad. That's a power move. Just the ability for you to just kind of recognize it and be like, I'm not hopping on the squad. I'm not going to be a liability. That's why you're a team guy.
I don't want to be a liability. I don't want to be a target. I don't want to drag them down too hard.
Exactly. That's why I respect that. And obviously going into the minor leagues here, we always have our minor league story of the week. Not necessarily like we do it every single week, but we get some fucking funny ass stories here about fans climbing poles with machetes, fans waiting outside of buses with like to fight players, all this kind of shit. What's one story? And obviously it's not going to be to that extent. I'm assuming maybe like, hopefully we get a good clip here, but what would you say is like your Mona Lisa minor league story that you have based off of just like a weird fan, maybe a hotel with bloody sheets, a locker room? What would you say is your Mona Lisa minor league story?
Man, I don't know if I have one that like really jumps off the page. I haven't had a bus breakdown, knock on wood. That's a good question. I don't know. The only thing that like really screams minor leagues for me was when we played Vermont in 2019. We're in Connecticut playing Vermont. And I think since then their team's been, they got eliminated. Like that team got, you know,
relegated. They're done.
Yeah, they're done. So I think their clubhouse was, and this is the same thing that happened in Somerset in Double A, but their clubhouse, I think the fire, you know, capacity was like 10, and we had like 40 guys in there, and we're just like touching butts and stuff in there because it's so close together. Like the lockers are maybe like, there's like 3 feet of width for two lockers, you know?
Yeah.
And I think the total, they had like 12 lockers total. And our manager was like, his name is Brian Pena. He played in the show for a while. He was like, he's a Cuban guy, very big personality. And if something's, you know, not right, he'll let you know, kind of thing. And he goes, and he just let one rip, apparently. Like, I think it was two or three games in, we'd already been there for a week, like a month before. And he's like, dude, he's like, if you guys aren't sick and tired of this shit, then you shouldn't be playing baseball. He's like, this is a disgrace to your families and yada, yada, yada. He goes, if you don't like it, you got to get out of here. And we're all just like, yeah, it was like a chalk talk. And then we go out and I think we got our shit kicked in again. We got on the bus and drove home. But yeah, it just was those minor league, you know, locker rooms, dude. They never get better until you really get like to double A, triple A.
That's so electric. Holy shit. I just love that. I mean, I love the minor league stories because it like I can kind of relate to it just based off of going to JUCO, Nebraska. Just the absolute trenches, just like
exactly.
The fans don't give a shit. Like they're just there for like the $2 beer strikeout hitter guy. Have you ever been a strikeout hitter?
Yeah, I had a really good one before I went to college. I was playing summer ball the year before college. I was the DQ strikeout batter of the game. But they told us ahead of time, hey, like whoever the strikeout batter is, if you guys K up, we're gonna give you guys the coupons so you get free food.
Let's go.
Like I can strike out. Took three coupons, three burgers for the boys. So I'll take that.
That's why I said, man, one of the biggest team guys of all time. Like we're gonna chalk that up in the description of the interview. I mean, so the minor league stories are just absolutely incredible. What's one city that you visited like in your minor league career so far where you're like, where the fuck am I? Like just like a city where you would never expect you'll ever be in your life.
Oh, it was Batavia, I think New York, where the Marlins were in 2019. Dude, it was like the hotel was bad, but we kind of knew, like you knew the hotels weren't going to be very good in that league, but you couldn't even, there were no Ubers. You couldn't find food for like 7 miles or something like that. And there's no food delivery people. So we're like, what do we eat? And it took us like, I think it took us a couple hours to get an Uber and we piled in like 6 guys to go to Dunkin' Donuts. And then we couldn't get an Uber back and we almost missed the game.
Jesus Christ.
But it was like, yeah, there's nothing going on. Batavia.
That's electric. Batavia. I mean, I don't think I've even heard. Yeah, I've heard of it. I think we've had a couple guys tell stories of the pod on that. And I wanted to go into a couple teammates, obviously, of yours. And the first guy, I mean, I'd punch myself in the dick if I didn't mention this, is a guy that's honestly the white whale of this podcast. I need to get on this show. We've had big leaguers, all that kind of stuff, humble brag. This is a guy I need on the show. Spencer Torkelson. What is this dude like? Because we've had Hunter Bishop on the show. Hunter Bishop told stories of this guy, urban legends of this guy mashing baseballs for a living. Like it's his day. Like it's just electric. What's it like being teammates with the number one prospect in baseball?
Dude, yeah, he's a pretty normal guy. I'm sure Hunter told you the same thing. Like he's a pretty normal dude until it comes to hitting a baseball. And then it's just like an ungodly kind of thing, like the power and all that stuff. But no, he's like pretty normal dude. He only lived like 2 hours from me in California, although we never met each other in high school. But yeah, no, he attracts a lot of, between him and Riley Green. Our double A Erie team was like pretty fun to be on because everywhere we went, it was just like hounding those guys.
And you just got to slip right by.
Yeah.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Dude, it's like, it's, has he had any moments of your like career playing with him where it's like, I can't believe that this guy just hit this ball this far. I can't believe this guy just went 4-for-4 with 3 nukes. Like what's one game that you played with him where you saw and you're like, what the fuck is this guy doing?
Yeah, we had a doubleheader. That's so easy. We had a doubleheader and he went 7-for-7 with 2 or 3 bombs.
That is absurd.
And it was just like, what, like, and I had a good day and I was just like, this is not even fair. You know, and I think Riley was like 5-for-8 with 2 doubles. Like, it was just absurd.
The pitchers were just absolutely getting shredded that day.
It wasn't a good day.
You absolutely love to see it. And then you mentioned, right, getting hounded with fans. And I like when we talk about the minor league guys and all this stuff on the show, being a guy that's like a teammate with him, do you kind of feel bad for the harassing this guy gets from these fucking ball hawks and these autograph seekers every single day he pulls up to the field? It must be just out of hand, right?
Yeah, it is. And I think COVID gave him a kind of a built-in way to manage that this year with our managers were really good about it too, where they were just like, dude, it's COVID. Like, don't sign. We'll take the heat for you kind of thing. But honestly, he does a great job. Riley does a great job. Torque, like, he deals with the same people a lot because they know how valuable his signatures are. So he'll just – he'll have to talk or sign. He ends up signing quite a bit. He's really good about it. For these guys who, you know, they already have like 10 Spencer Torkelson signatures just laying in their back pocket. But like, that's just, I guess, the nature of the beast. And on the flip side of that, he gets, you know, he gets pretty good deals with the card companies. So, he's doing all right for himself on that front.
You love to see it. You also, I mean, the guy's just making absolute bank, and he signed for, I don't even know what he signed for, just a multi-million dollar deal. Good for him. We don't talk about Lorenzo's money, but good for him. Do you get hounded? I mean, obviously last year it was like every single time I looked at like Tiger's Twitter or I looked at like retweets of like baseball accounts, it was just Ryan Kreidler stroke off session. It was like, let's stroke off Ryan Kreidler. This guy's mashing. Like, are you starting to realize now, because you're starting to get closer and closer to the show, that like that day is going to be like, going to be coming sooner than later, especially with how well you've been doing? Like, have you started to realize that or picture that moment you play at Comerica or anything along those lines?
Yeah. Like, yeah, you know, I don't want to count on anything, but yes, it's like, you know, it's super exciting when things like this start to happen, like promotions and fall league and things like that. But like, no, I haven't been hounded really at all. I don't have that many cards out there. So like,
fucking right.
My penalty card. You know, over and over, like they print out like a picture and I'll just, you know, sign those or whatever. But like, no, it hasn't been bad at all. Like I said, Torque and Riley took the brunt of that. And then when I got to AAA, all the big league rehab guys and all that stuff took the heat. So no, it's been pretty much the same as before.
Okay. So for the listeners of the show, I want someone to make that GIF, that meme of that army soldier with his arms out taking bullets. And I want someone to put Torkelson and Riley Green's face over the army soldier. And then the guy sleeping will be Ryan Kreidler. Just they're taking the bullets for him. You just love, I mean, that's just incredible. And obviously, I mean, last year you step into AAA. This is where we get into the pumping of the Ryan Kreidler tires, a stroke off session. You step into AAA and you just fucking put your balls on the table, hit 300 right off the rip. What was that like for you, man? I mean, just playing in AAA, especially like you moved up. I mean, you were playing, I believe it was, you're playing A 2 years ago, right? Is that correct?
Yeah.
And then you went double A, triple A. Is that good? You tell me. So what was that like for you? Just kind of moving up in the system and the Tigers like showing they actually like see a future in you as like a prospect and as a big leaguer someday.
Yeah, no, it was cool. I think like very exciting to even be in that, you know, conversation at the start of the year, but it like a lot of things had to happen at the right time for all that to happen. Like I didn't play well in 19. So changed my swing, came back in 2020 spring training and was backing up, you know, we're at like mini camp or whatever. And we're backing up some of the big league games. They would just have it sit there. And then if they needed a pinch runner in the ninth inning kind of thing, you would just come in. And so did that. And then I got up and at bat with the base load, hit a homer, you know? Holy and so shit. I was like, it was just kind of like a lucky thing. And then that got me kind of we went home, you know, and then came back for instructs that year and did pretty good, but nothing crazy. And then I got invited to spring training this year as kind of another, like a mini camp situation, backing up games, and I hit another homer. So like just those, no, but it was like two swings a year apart that just so happened to, you know, happen right in front of the right people.
Yeah.
That really helped me out. And so then from there, that helped me get like alt site. And then after that, you know, going to double A, and then, you know, you got to play. But yeah, just kind of luck of the draw, doing a couple things in front of the right people. And, you know, yeah, it was cool. Like double A was a great start. And we had like such a fun team that it made it really easy.
I always marvel at like some of the description of like the prospect thing. They're just so generic. It's like Kreidler moves well for his size with good instincts and a very strong arm. Like you could literally write that. It's just like the most generic fucking bio of all time. Yeah. So what would you say is like the best aspect of your game here? Cause it says your arm is 60, which is that good? You tell me, and that's just bananas. So what would you say is like the best aspect of your game? Cause I saw a couple of plays, like I said, like you get stroked off on Twitter. I see a couple of these plays you make in the infield. So you're obviously a good defender, but what would you say is like that, the best part of your game?
Yeah. Defense probably right now. Defense, but I try and be as well-rounded, you know, as you can be, but yeah, defense is honestly probably what allows me to have a little bit of leeway when the bat's not going right.
Yeah.
because like then they can count on you for something, you know. And that'd be probably my advice for younger kids, is always just like, you know, play defense so that it gets you on the field and then your bat's kind of a bonus, or vice versa. But hitting so like streaky, as you know, like it's definitely not something you can always count on. So, and yeah, that defense, and then like just being able to like hang out with different kind of guys. I can speak Spanish, so I can talk to the Latin guys.
You speak Spanish?
Yeah. Well, I went to an elementary school when I was a kid that was Spanish immersion. So I spoke Spanish all day until I was like 12.
So I told you this, you know my word, I'm putting in this bio, one of the best locker room guys of all time. And that's another aspect. People listen to this. I mean, if you were like me, this is how I stayed on my JUCO roster on scholarship. If you're a locker room guy, you just weasel your way into a clubhouse. You don't have to be good. I mean, you're good, but there's probably some guys that are there that are like glue guys that every locker room needs. Maybe they're not putting up the stats, maybe they're not playing, but they're locker room glue guys. And I noticed that in clubhouses too. It's like, I know in minor league, some systems might not be like this. You might say the politically correct answer, but there's definitely cliques, right? I mean, you have the Latins that hang out with each other and all that kind of stuff. So you kind of get to just weasel your way into any clique you want. Like, I mean, you're just buzzing. So
I try to talk to everybody.
So what if like, so let's go into that interaction. That first interaction you had speaking Spanish to like the Latinos, were they just like, holy shit, this is fucking, like, what do they say? Were they caught off guard that you just were ripping Spanish right off the bat?
Well, I got like a tip leading into pro ball, like not to use it until you need it, so you can hear if they're saying anything. And I don't know, like nobody, I've come across no, you know, Latin player that's ever talked shit about me or like, you know, whatever, but I guess that was like a, you know, a thing, like if you can speak Spanish, maybe just hold off on it. But yeah, like I said, our manager, Brian Pena, was like, can anybody speak Spanish? It was our first day. I was like jet lagged, all that stuff. And I was like, yeah, I can speak Spanish. And I said something and they were all just like, yeah, but that was kind of that. And then, but then I had to be our like de facto translator at mound visits. Cause we had a Venezuelan catcher. And then a lot of our staff was like college white guys.
Yeah.
So I had to just sprint in and be there for the mound visits, trying to interpret everything and make sure we weren't crossing guys up back there. So yeah,
that's so goddamn electric. Put that in your bio, man. Like middle infielder / team translator. That is so all day. That is so all day. Good for you. So I mean, that definitely adds style points. And they actually told that to you. They said like, listen, don't use it right off the rip. Let them talk shit, and then you can kind of weasel your way knowing it, right?
No, it wasn't. Yeah, it definitely wasn't anybody with the team or anything like that. It was more just like, hey, like, I don't know, like they'll find out you speak Spanish eventually, but maybe just hold off for a week or two and see what happens.
Dude, part of me, obviously, like I said, I'm a big Ryan Kreidler guy. part of me was actually hoping that someone was like talking shit about you right in front of your face in Spanish. And then you're like, and then you responded to them in Spanish and just caught them off guard. That would have been electric.
That would have been sick. But I've been so lucky. The Tigers have like, I mean, some of the best dudes I've played with.
Yeah, see, it seems like a close
about it.
Is our guy Zach Hess there too?
Yeah, he's here. Yeah.
Oh, really?
Has he been on the pod?
Yeah, he's been on the pod. Yeah, that's my guy. He's a little guitarist, right? He's a little guitar guy. He told some funny ass stories on this podcast about your system. I mean, he's electric. How's he doing down there? Is he buzzing?
Yeah, he's doing good. He's throwing. I know his agency's down here, so they've been able to come out and see him quite a bit. And he's enjoying it, dude. He's like a silent killer, man. Like he won't say anything to you, and then he'll just bust out some of the funniest shit you've ever heard in your life.
I could see him being like a Twitter troll or personality someday, like just like once he makes it to the show. And has Sim come out there? Another one of our guys, Eric Sim, JUCO guy.
Yeah. Well, I haven't met him, but I've seen him. He's been out to watch Zach pitch at least once, maybe more, but I've seen him once. Yeah. He got along with our bullpen guys pretty well, I think.
Yeah. No, yeah, he's electric too. I mean, we've had him on like 3 or 4 times, but that's good that Hess is doing well. So who else is there from the Tigers that are big prospects? Is it just you? It's you, Hess. Who else?
So it was supposed to be me, Riley, and Torque, but we all got hurt. Riley got a concussion, like his last game in the regular season, never showed up. Torque sprained his ankle, and then I strained my calf. So we're all kind of banged up.
So what are you doing right now?
Rehabbing and trying to play like the last week. It wasn't anything crazy serious, but just like the time of the year, they're trying to take it slow and all that. But the rest of the guys, we got Hess, Garrett Hill, and Wilmer Flores, who has the same name as his brother, Wilmer Flores, the check swing guy in the show.
That's so electric. That check swing. And see, and that's the thing with me is like the Wilmer Flores guy. How do you tell each one apart? They both have the same name. It's like, it's so electric. And he's good too, by the way. I think I've seen highlights of this kid, this Wilmer Flores kid also. He's one of the one of the big time prospects. But yeah, the Tiger system is definitely good. And the Tigers, and I said this long on the show, the Tigers are building something legit special there. And I think they're going to get Correa in the offseason. I genuinely do. No, I seriously do. I seriously, like, I think Correa's one, because they're going to drop, they have so much money to spend. I think they're going to get the bag on Correa. But just speaking about those minor league teams you guys have, and just like you guys have all stick together, like you, Torkelson, Cody Clemens, all these guys, Riley Green. Is it, do you, like, are you guys starting to realize like they're trying to build like a culture from low A with all the guys that are they're bringing up and just keeping you guys together? Is that something that like they've put in your brain since day one?
I mean, from the team perspective, the culture stuff, not necessarily, but I think we've built that just the way they've drafted.
Yeah,
they've drafted pretty college heavy for the most part, and then apart from that, they've drafted some, you know, some high school kids, and then obviously they sign international players. But like, it's easy to get along with guys, you know, have shared experiences with you, like whether it's summer ball or whatever else. And it just seems like, yeah, playing together, and we do all these camps, and you know, we had Zoom meetings and during COVID and all that stuff, just like little stuff to get everybody closer. Yeah. So by this point, it's been pretty easy to get along with these guys, and it's been really fun. A lot of these guys are position players now that some of the pitchers are already in the big leagues. So it's been, yeah, it's been pretty special. It's pretty cool.
Dude, it's sick. I mean, and I've said this long. I said, I grew up 4 hours from Detroit. So I've been to a shit ton of Comerica Park games, Tigers games there. It is the most underrated field in baseball. That field is fucking sick, but it sucks for hitters. I'll be honest with you. It's like dog shit. You hate to see. I mean, it's such a bad field for hitters. It's a pitcher friendly park. Have you been to Comerica?
No, I haven't yet.
Really?
No.
Holy shit. I mean, so okay, you're in Toledo. Never mind. But yeah, no. So where were you actually when you found out you were going to Toledo or you're getting the call at AAA? Because obviously, yeah, it was like recent, right?
Yeah, it was. We had just finished playing a series. I forget who we were playing, but my girlfriend was in town. We were going to get some food, just finished eating, got a call to come back and pack your stuff up because you're going to Toledo.
That's so fucking sick.
Yeah. So it was cool that she could share it with me too, because I was like, she was about to head home getting all sad, but then that was like a nice thing to end on kind of thing.
Yeah, it's a good, she left you in good note. I mean, she left you in good hands. But the second last thing I wanted to talk about is obviously this year, especially facing, you're literally at the highest level you could possibly be before the show. What was like the biggest difference you noticed on the field wise or pitching wise, like in AAA? Cause you're facing guys that legit have showtime. Like you're facing a ton of guys with showtime. So it's a massive jump from AA to AAA. That's what like I've heard at least.
Yeah, it's, I think like getting over the fact that you've seen a lot of the guys play on TV is, you know, it's, you can do it in spring training, but like when you're playing during a season, you're playing against like whoever, like Shane Bieber on rehab or Brian Buxton or whoever else. But like, yeah, getting over the fact that like, you know who they are, they probably don't know who you are kind of thing. And then apart from that, yeah, just like learning how to be a professional. I think AAA is the first level that they really let you control everything about your day. So like in the morning, if you want to like take early work or whatever, it's just on you. If you don't want to do it, nobody's going to hold your hand and make you do it kind of thing.
Wow.
Yeah. So it's all like, when you think of what a pro does, like a big leaguer, what they do during their day, I think it starts at AAA where you start like kind of developing those habits. And then I think that's the biggest jump, is just being like super accountable for everything you do. And then on top of that, yeah, like talent's better, and like the amount of preparation that goes into like the reports, and you know, this guy's been pitching in pro ball for like 15 years sometimes, so you have all this data on the guy and you kind of just have to figure out like what he's been doing lately, that kind of stuff. But I love, you know, I love all that stuff. I think like the more information that I can have as a player is always better. So
there's one guy in your system that I have an absolute fucking bone to pick with. And it's nothing personal. It's just the guy's by the name of Derek Hill. And it's nothing he did to me. It's what he did to my good friend of the show, Kevin Smith. Robs him twice. Ooh. of a home run in center. And then I'm at the Rogers Center with Kevin's family. I thought Kevin launched off the top of the wall at the Rogers Center. Or no, in the gap, and Superman comes out of fucking center field, Derek Hill. So you know Derek, I'm assuming?
Yeah, we trained together in the off seasons. I've known him for a little while.
Yeah, I mean, I might have to get this guy's side story on this because maybe potential pod appearance. I mean, this guy, I have a bone to pick with him. What he did to Kevin was insane. Like, and the funny thing is like, I don't think Derek knows this, which is why this will be funny to bring it up to him. Kevin texted me after he got that home run robbed, and he just texted me, like, he just said, fucking Derek Hill. Like, that was the text message he sent me after he got robbed of the ball. And so is Derek one of those guys in the system that's just a freak athlete?
Yeah. Yeah. I think, like, for sure, he's, like, one of the fastest dudes you'll ever see. And just does things, like, without even thinking about him, just instincts. Yeah, he's a freak. There's a few guys like that.
Is he slam? Like, okay, now let's go into the weight room for a second. Is he one of those guys that are just slamming weight around like it's fucking nothing?
No.
Really?
No, he's like, no. He just kind of has it. I don't, like, if nobody told him to lift a weight or to, like, how to run properly, he would still be fast.
Fuck, I hate
but, like,
guys.
That's not to say guys. He doesn't work hard. He grinds. Like, yeah. He definitely grinds. But he's not like a freak in the weight room by any means.
I just hate those guys, respectfully. Like, respectfully, Derek Hill, I hate guys that are just naturally gifted at literally fucking every single thing they do. And I'm assuming you're one of those guys, too. I mean, you're 6'4", humble. The people that chirp my height might say you're 6 inches taller than me. We're going to say you're 4 inches taller than me. But I mean, that's another thing. Are you throwing weight around or are you not? Are you just like the plyo guy?
No, I'm not throwing weight around by any means. I wouldn't say like I'm like a freak in there. No, I try. You got to try. But like, yeah. There's definitely like a lot of guys that can throw it around more than I can.
We got to get you on the smelling salts. Like I need a Ryan Kreidler smelling salt video.
Sim's got to brand his own smelling salts.
Yeah, no, Sim's a big smelling salts guy. I mean, I've been to smelling salts. I love smell. I think it's the most electric shit of all time. Is that something you see in the minor league clubhouse to get you? Because obviously you guys are in the dog days of summer. Like, is that some of the shit that you guys do in the locker room just to be like, all right, man, we're in God knows where. We need to wake up here.
Yeah, I'm not a big smelling salts guy myself, but like, in over the course of a day, I would say at least 10 guys are ripping smelling salts every day.
That's so fucking sick. That's so all day. I love that shit. That and what I used to do in Nebraska in like JUCO was cowboy cocaine. Do you know what that is?
No.
It's snuff. It's chewing tobacco that you sniff up your fucking nose. We used to do it pregame. And it's such a bad visual too because like there'd be like families. Obviously, there's no crowds of the game. And you would just see me in the dugout just ripping cowboy cocaine in the corner looking like an absolute
just being a clubhouse guy though.
Yeah, just being a degenerate. I'm not even playing. I'm just ripping it for fun just to look absolute nails as hell. So I mean this is what we always say to all the guests. Obviously beat a guy that's playing for the Tigers that's very close to me, I can make that trip in a little heart, but you text me, I'm going to be there in Detroit. When you make that debut, I have a recommendation, not a recommendation. Actually, this is kind of like this is a wish I'm granting that I need to happen. When you make that debut, I need to be at least top 20 guys that know. Just because, like I said, I don't know if you've done other podcasts since okay. So we took your podcast virginity. Thank you for that. So this is what we're saying here. I need to be at least not top 20. We'll just pretend that I'm top 20. Just send me the Drake gift saying, let's go. And I'm there. I'm in the Hyundai Sonata. I'm at Comerica in 4 hours. Just let me know. I want to be one of these. I want to feel a little bit special. Like I'm one of these guys.
You're going to be in the know. That's for sure. Yeah. I hope we have that problem sooner rather than later.
It'd be a shame. I mean, imagine if it was in Toronto. I mean, I don't know what the schedule is next year, but I'm assuming we're going to experience some service time. What's it called? Manipulation for Ryan Kreidler here sooner than later. So it's going to be probably somewhere halfway in the year, but I need to be at that debut. I'm addicted to debuts. I said it when Kevin Smith made his debut, I got a little taste of the specialness of the family crying. I almost cried. Actually, there's actually a funny visual of me on TV for Kevin's first hit. I had a dip and I went to go celebrate and I swallowed my whole dip and you could see me on TV and my face is just a Neptune. It's one of the worst visuals of all time. So just let me know. I want to be top 20 guys that know.
All right. Yeah. You can be in there for sure. Yeah. I'll shoot you a text.
That's electric. But anyways, last thing I want to talk about, obviously going into this off season, especially coming in hot, hitting 300 AAA, is that good? You tell me. What's one thing you're going to be working on going into next year? I mean, or one goal you have next year? I mean, if you set goals.
Yeah, I think I haven't really set them for next year yet. I try and do that like around Christmas time, but just cutting down on some strikeouts and churning a couple things up because, like, you know, you can always improve on little things. Nothing jumping off the page. Like, I remember after 19, I knew I was like, okay, it's going to have to be a big swing change probably because this wasn't really working out.
Really?
But yeah, so I just changed a bunch of things. But yeah, now this year, you know, we'll work on a couple things that I've pinpointed with like defense and things like that, but just getting some rest, man. It's going to be a short off season, so just trying to get the body back in one piece.
Especially being in the fall league. Okay, actually, this is the last thing. Let's go into your golf game for a second. I saw it was your background on Twitter. Mm-hmm. You're a big golf guy. You actually look like a golf guy, and that's not me chirping you for being maybe a little more skinnier than the usual guy, but
you
probably look electric in golf clothes. And I would say that. I would actually kill to have that body where it's like this guy could wear, look like Tiger out on the course and look yoked. How's your golf game? What are we shooting here? What's the handicap?
So it was pretty good during COVID. I would say low 80s during when it was like peak COVID now, but like I haven't played much this year at all. So I'd say the handicap's north of 15 right now. It's not in a good shape.
That's a good problem to have. Is there like good courses around you in Cali too? I'm assuming it's probably just electric.
It's pretty decent around where I live, but when I'm down south, I'm going to be living in Southern California this offseason. There's quite a bit going on down there if you're willing to pay for it.
It's
pretty pricey down there. Yeah.
I feel like California is just expensive, like period with everything, especially. So,
oh, yeah.
Yeah. So anyways, man, it was a pleasure to have you on. Obviously, it's a long time coming. I'm fired up to get you on the pod, man. And I'll be dialed in when that debut happens. I'll be in the Sonata just ripping 130 on the highway, getting ready to watch my boy play. But thank you for doing this, man. Number 10th ranked prospect of the Detroit Tigers. That good. You tell me. Thank you for doing this, man. And I'm pumped to get you on.
Yeah, John, man. Thanks for having me on. I'll be listening from here on out. You got a new fan, so keep me in the loop.
Thank you, brother. Thank you for listening to Officially Unofficial. Make sure you guys subscribe and leave a review on iTunes and follow us on Twitter at Fish on a Fish Pod and on Instagram at Officially Unofficial Pod. Thank you.